We Americans have strayed far from sound principles, morally, constitutionally, and historically. It has been getting us into a quagmire of trouble all over the world, and especially here at home. Americans at the grassroots level have sensed that their way of life is being threatened. During the last several years, there has been a rising tide of resistance to the prevailing political trend. Compromises with communism abroad and flirtations with socialism at home have stirred up opposition in both political parties. If this has led to disunity, then by all means let us return to a program of sound constitutional principles on which we can unite. There would be no virtue in calling for unity to support certain legislation if the majority of Americans were opposed to it. And the fact that both Democrats and Republicans in Congress have at times resisted certain legislation shows that the executive branch of the government may get out of step with the people. I believe the American people know what they want. It would appear that the people want their civil rights safeguarded, but not a destruction of states' rights. The farmers want opportunity for reasonable income security, but not agricultural dictatorship security. Parents want better school for their children, but not a federal subsidy leading to control of the teachings and textbooks as well as the ideologies of the children. People want sound pay-as-you-go spending with a balanced budget, not reckless spending and tax cuts with an unbalanced budget. If there is a need for urban renewal, people want it under local direction, not under the red tape of Washington bureaus armed with confiscatory powers over property. People want the development of power dams, but not the strangulation of privately owned power companies, which have proven far more efficient and economical than utilities run by the government. In other words, there are some legitimate functions and services which the federal government can and should provide. But those who want the federal power to exceed the authority delegated to it by the Constitution will be resisted both by Democrats and Republicans. This is what is happening in some limited areas today. May the trend increase. And anyone who tries to equate this love of constitutional principles as meaning hatred of our national leaders is using Goebbels-style deception. History has already demonstrated that conservative opposition to national leaders was not hate, but an attempt to do them a favor. Let me give you some examples. Was it hate when General Albert C. Wedemeyer pleaded with General Marshall and President Truman to reverse their policy before they lost China? Was it hate when Whitaker Chambers tried to warn President Roosevelt in 1939 that Alger Hiss had been giving the Soviet Union more espionage data than any other member of the Washington spy network? Was it hate when J. Edgar Hoover tried to warn President Truman that Harry Dexter White was a member of the Soviet spy apparatus and was doing great danger to the nation as Assistant Secretary of the Treasury? Was it hate when I went to the Secretary of State under President Eisenhower and pleaded with him not to support the communist Fidel Castro? Was it hate when I urged the President of the United States to go to the aid of the brave freedom fighters in Hungary? Was it hate when the Democratic Senator from Connecticut, Thomas Dodd, pleaded for 2 years with the President not to support the United Nations bloodbath against the free people of Katanga? Is it hate when distinguished military leaders advise that an all-out effort could end the Vietnam struggle almost overnight? This list of acts by well-meaning citizens who want and wanted to prevent their presidents from making serious mistakes could be extended at length, but they would all illustrate the same point. History will show that many terrible mistakes occurred because the advice of these well-informed and well-meaning citizens was not heeded. Therefore, I repeat, this kind of resistance to a national leader is really